and welcome to Glow Girls.
Hello.
Hello.
Right, so this is our first podcast ever trialing Skype, I suppose.
Yeah.
So we're not all in the same room.
Yes. It's also the first podcast that we've done since we did the large mass of guild previews.
So it's about doing introductions. So I'm Luke.
I'm Rich.
I'm Gigi Dave.
Hi.
I still can't say that without laughing.
Yeah, so doing a bit of steam on, I suppose. So it's what, the 16th of November today. SteamCon was last weekend. So we all went to SteamCon, and I suppose we're just going to have a chat about all the things we did, all the things we learned, all the things we experienced, and the game moving forward, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, after we've done all the guild previews, we've all had a massive chance to play a load of games against a load of different guilds. So we might have different opinions on how each of them are standing in the current meta.
Yeah, definitely. So first off, at SteamCon, it was really amazing slash humbling slash overwhelming, the amount of people who came up and said hello and like they enjoyed our content and enjoyed watching what we did and doing stuff like that. It seems really strange that, I don't know, what, in February we started doing this, and it, you know, started off as three of us playing God Tier in Rich's dining room, and now, yeah, we've got people who from like America, Canada and all over saying they watch our content and enjoy it. It was really, yeah, really humbling and nice. So thank you, everyone.
Yes.
Yeah, you. Definitely. Yeah, thanks to everyone who came and said hi. It was really really nice, as Luke's mentioned.
So, Rich, you and me went up on Thursday, didn't we? And Dave, indeed, you joined us on Friday. So, do you want to talk us through what we did on Thursday?
Yeah. Well, effectively, we checked in and then we went over to the Forge for a few games. Which, being the first time I visited the Forge, it was quite nice to sort of see what all the fuss is about. So I think we got a couple of games of Guild Ball in, and then that was it. We went over to the Trafford Centre for food, which, yeah, being right next to the venue was fantastic.
So we played a couple of games of Guild Ball. It got quite busy. So when we got there, what, about 2-3 o'clock, something like that in the afternoon?
Yeah, and there was probably, what, like 3 games of Guild Ball going on. By the time we left, there was, what, 15, 16 games?
Yeah, and so we decided to grab a bite to eat, and then we went back to the hotel, and we'd brought Dark Souls, the card game, with us.
We had indeed, and we effectively taken over the whole of the reception with just the laughter and a massive group of gamers just really enjoying a card game.
Yeah, so for a four player game.
I bet they really appreciated that.
Oh, it was quite rowdy.
We were buying from the bar, so I don't know, they didn't have anything to moan about.
Yeah.
I'm only salty about the fact that I missed it.
Oh, it was hilarious. Right, so we didn't realise, once you'd had a couple of drinks, how many innuendos were in Dark Souls the card game?
It's quite a few, isn't there?
Yeah, so one of our locals, when he was telling someone, asked how the game is, and he said, it's got a similar kind of feel to Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah, to be honest, it's just a really strong game. It's really hard not to enjoy the game. Do you know what I mean? You're playing with your mates, and off you go. To be fair, we had a couple of new people who we hadn't met come over and speak to us, and they were like super interested in the game. So myself and Luke, we were taking time to sort of show them how to play, and even though they weren't actually playing, they were properly into it. They were like looking at the cards and talking about it, and just the interaction was fantastic.
We didn't even play, Rich.
Sorry?
We didn't even play. That's the thing. We enjoyed it thoroughly, and we weren't even playing. We're essentially just running the game. But yeah, it's great.
We've played a few rounds ourselves, haven't we? So I think it was more enjoyable for everyone else to not have to worry about that. Plus, yeah, so to be fair, we got some advanced previews at the cards that the bosses were going to have. So we were looking at it and laughing between us because we just knew what was coming where everyone else didn't.
Honestly, but Dave, right? Four player is super, super hard. And they won. They went on the same, you know, the same board side that we went on our playthrough. And they bloody did it.
You say they took on the gargoyles, though, rather than us.
Oh, no. They went and did the hard one first, like was.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, the gargoyles was easy.
Yeah, we weren't quite sure how difficult the gargoyles were going to be. So they decided to take the pseudo easy route of, oh, we'll go against and do this like two sword encounter, and then we'll move on to the boss. It took them two attempts to beat the asylum demon, and then we were all sort of like quite stressed because we're like, wow, are they going to beat them two gargoyles? And yeah, they did it the right way around, apparently.
Yeah, super, super strong. Yeah,
they did it the wrong way around, but they did it the right way around for them.
They did, and hey, they achieved it. It might have took them all five bonfires. Made it.
We got to be fair, we got pretty close to doing the asylum demon on camera, didn't we? Just couldn't quite math out the last three or points, I think, if I remember rightly.
Yeah.
So yeah, well, that was the you lost phone, and I had to complete familial duty before travelling up on the Friday.
Dave, do you mind saying that a little bit again? Because you sounded like a bit of a robot, that last sentence you said.
Sound like a robot? Like cracking up?
Yeah, you're cracking up just on that. It's probably my internet connection. Would you say it again?
My internet connection as well, because I've realised I've left my Wi-Fi on. But I'm really far away from my Wi-Fi. But now I'm kind of loath to turn it off because I don't want to get disconnected. But part of me thinks
I'm better. So what were you saying? I heard a bit of robot babble, and then you were coming in. You said, and then I arrived on the Friday.
I was just talking about familial duties.
Don't worry about
it. Can you edit this out?
Maybe. So, Friday, Dave, what time? You were here relatively sharpish in the morning, weren't you, on Friday?
Yeah, well, I was super excited for SteamCon, so I got on the road about 5:30 in the morning and started travelling up. It takes about, well, technically it should take about 2 hours, but you never know with traffic how long it's going to take, so I decided to leave early to beat the Manchester rush hour traffic and arrived at 9 o'clock. So, luckily, I think there was a bit of a queue to get in on the first day, around 8 o'clock, because obviously everyone's as excited as I was. So it was quite handy, really. I turned up just in time to miss all of that queue and just walk straight through.
Yeah, me and Rich were, what, about 7th or 8th? We were, what, really near the front of the queue, because we got there at, like, what, 7:30-ish, something like that, Rich?
Yeah, we did. We made sure we got there bright and early, because we wanted to get hold of those sweet, sweet Black Friday deals.
Yeah, I suppose that's quite a good segue into it. So, how amazing and generous were the Black Friday deals?
Extremely, extremely. I spent so much on that first morning. There was just like, it's amazing how many little things that you were like, oh, I'm on an R in. Oh, wait, look at that price. Let's go.
Yeah.
It's just made my decision up straight away.
Yeah, so basically the Black Friday thing is not till next Friday officially, the 23rd, I think. Is that next? Yeah, that's next Friday. That's the day, isn't it?
They are putting teasers out, so I'm sure, you know, everyone's already seen the lists from SteamCon, but I was going to say let's refrain from listing out in detail every single deal you can get. But
well, I suppose you could say one thing. So basically the 6-man Metal Guild teams, £25. How amazing is that? You finish off and get a whole guild for £50.
Yeah, that's amazing. Hey, it's given me the push that I needed to start Fish.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'll be picking up the second box next Friday.
Nice. I was going to say it's almost a bit like it's not the kind of complete clearing house, but it's like resins are coming. Everyone's getting a new makeover as their minor guild comes out. So this is kind of, if you guys want the metals, then you know this is the best opportunity to get it. You've got a half price box for £25 for any metals you want, and I imagine, as with morticians, I mean, this is in theory, if there are any morticians boxes left, because at SteamCon they did sell out like super fast, And I think they managed to get some more in on the Saturday, but they still sold out fast as well, because I kept looking to see if I could pick up a
I hear box set. 2 was very, very popular.
For some unknown reason. But yeah, I think it's one of those things where actually once the resins are out, that's it. You're not going to see the metals again via Steam Forge. They're not going to have any more available. So this is the kind of window of opportunity to pick up those metals that you want if you want them in metal.
Yeah, definitely. So I finished up my Mason's Guild that I've had the first 6 sat there in metal since the mystery boxes from, when was that, like 18 months ago or something?
I'm still gutted I missed out on those.
Yeah. So I grabbed that. Did you both get a Fathom?
I did.
Yes.
Gorgeous model.
It's so nice. It is a gorgeous model. To be honest, I think one of the ones that I'm quite happy about is I managed to get a Pride.
Yeah. The LA Pride.
Yeah, which sold out really, really quickly.
Yeah. See, I've got a regular Pride, but like I haven't, you know, I'm not. I've finally bought my new Faithfuls books as well, so I've got my order team sorted, which is currently, as I look onto my painting table, they're all, I've done a bit of a mass assembly and priming session the other day. Richie, when you came round the other day, you seen how much I'd done.
Yeah, it's table. There's a lot of minis there.
Yeah, my pile of shame is depleting. Into a primed pile of shame.
Mine's just growing, to be fair. My pile of
shame. But yeah, so the Black Friday, amazing. I suppose, can we talk about Fathom, like the model, but how she performs? Have any of you come against her yet?
No, I haven't found Fathom yet in the wild.
I did play against Fish this weekend. I think I did. I'm pretty sure I did. But I don't. I definitely did because I lost. but yeah, I didn't play against her.
You had a front row seat to me, Palooza to Fish, didn't you?
I sat and watched you play Dan Harwood, which is incredibly funny for all the right reasons as well. The actual game itself, the way it started, and then your face and the tilt that you kind of had when you when he deployed Fathom in an amazing way against Alchemist. It was very funny.
It was a very, very... Well, me and Dan always have entertaining games. So he basically kicked the ball off to Fathom. So I walked up with Calculus. He kind of deployed all to the right-hand side of his pitch and he had Fathom Central. So he walked Fathom up pretty much to the halfway line and booted the ball into my half. I think I got Vet Calculus just to sprint up pretty much to the halfway line and boot the ball back to his far corner. And then I just dodged back and I was like, ha, none of us are having it this game.
That's an interesting tactic. And then,
well, believe it or not, he didn't see that coming.
I'm not surprised, to be honest.
I'm trailblazer for new tactics. Quite in a loss quite badly.
Used to receive and then immediately give the ball back again.
Well, no, he chose to kick.
Oh, he did, didn't he? Sorry, yeah.
Mm. But one thing I learned about Fathom, which I learned on towards the end of turn 2, she's got smelling salts. Yes. So I had a really good setup. I had most of his team burning, poisoned, loads of damage done across the team. Then she just waltzes in, chucks a little AoE, and all my hard work gone. I was like, damn it.
I do just think that without hearing the team with that smelling salt, she probably would have won that game.
Without, really?
Yeah, without Fathom in there, I think he would have won it. Which is interesting, because before we started recording, you were talking about the fact that Fish was kind of the bad matchup for you for Alks in Season 3. I think maybe Shark still is, but I think you probably got a good chance against Corsair.
I think the team currently in Season 4, I think the Corsair team lends itself to having people like Krakenen, who's another low-def model. You can bounce things off, which works quite nicely. So yeah. I was having a chat with Dan earlier about different options, like, because we talked through that game, and I think maybe swapping Mercury for Crucible, because he can trigger his Fire Blast off his playbook, the Flame Jet.
Oh, so plot fire, yeah, use Kraken to Fire Blast everybody in the.
Because if you get, like, say, Catalyst to go and knock him down, he's got a knockdown on two, then Mercury's tap five against a two-up model with a crowd out or two, maybe he might be rapping and hitting it twice, and then I'd have said I'd have made a lot more of a concerted effort to take out Fathom, potentially, because it's from 6 inches away, you can bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, if you damage, you can just pop it on her without the defence being an issue, yeah.
So that was a bit of a thing. I was having a chat with Dan, but yeah, he said, yeah, it was a really, really, really enjoyable game. And, you know, Dan's a top player, and the fact that you even said...
Why just make it to fish teams and roll for Corsair fish teams?
Kraken, right. So Kraken's got gravity well.
Okay.
If you're engaging Kraken, you have to hit him. He's got the...
Protective aura. The gravity well is if you end engaging Kraken, you take a 2-inch directly in
towards this model. Yeah, so he's got, you know what, he's 20 boxes tough hard, 3s and 1. He's got a momentous knockdown on 1. His gravity well and protective instinct are just super strong. So if you go in to go, okay, I'm going to go and take out that one, or I'm going to charge in to get the ball off, say, Corsair, for example, and you end up in Kraken can pull you 2 inches directly towards him and potentially out of another melee zone of who you wanted to hit.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got his double push on 2, so he's prime for pushing people off the pitch. And he's another source of drag. So, you know, he's a real... real strong player, so expect to see a lot of Corsair and Kraken. I think the team you probably see a lot is Corsair, Tentacles, Kraken, Hag, Sakana of your flavour, and Fathom, maybe. No grayscales, I don't think, at the moment.
Okay.
Obviously, that's based on nothing more than opinion and watching the world's games and stuff, and me not playing Season 4 Fish. But yeah,
and then I hadn't really appreciated the fact that he had protective instinct. I was just kind of curious because I was thinking, I've always liked using Siren as opposed to Kraken for another reposition. So I was just curious about why people would start using him, and I can see now the gravity well and the protective instinct just makes him really obnoxious. Although, to be fair, if you're going to end in his melee zone, you already intend to hit him anyway. But you're stuck in base with him, and he's a 2-inch melee, so you can never escape that counter-attack unless you've got a knockdown.
Exactly. And as I found with Alchemists, not a lot of us have knockdowns. In my Alchemists that I'd usually play, Smoke has one at the top of a playbook, and Catalyst has one. We're quite lacking in the old knockdown department.
The one condition you can't put out for free.
Can't put out Bleed. Or Snare.
I know. Snare.
Or Disease.
One of the conditions that you can't put out for free.
One I can put four. Out 2. It's not for free. There's very specific triggers.
I was waiting for him to bite on that one.
Well,
that's Black Friday.
No, we're done with Black Friday. Let's talk about sculpting. Go on, Rich. I'm sulking now.
Oh, our sculpting. Oh, yeah. Fantastic. That was honestly one of the massive highlights of the weekend. Massive thanks to Tom, who hosted both myself and Luke for a full hour on the Saturday. No, it was the Friday, wasn't it? The Friday. Where we managed to design a new goal and a new ball, which was both GG branded, which is... obviously quite big for us. We really like that. So massive thanks to him. He's amazingly talented. He was really I can't say enough about him, to be honest. It was a really enjoyable experience watching someone work who clearly knows their trade so well. When we get them files, we'll be getting some produced to give out at our events.
I did sculpting on Sunday, and I actually had a go as well. So he didn't let me get away quite as easy as you two did, apparently. But it was quite interesting because I think I'd made the mistake of being interested in actually doing it and asking him some questions around how it goes about it, what software they use and stuff like that. So I did a bit of sculpting and made a bit of GG terrain. I think it's going to be an obstacle. We'll have to wait until we've actually printed a copy of it to see how big it is.
I'm thinking barrier.
Well,
they are big barrels.
Well, we'll see. We'll see when it comes out. They might be appropriately sized, but we'll have to see. But either way, so we've got some GG terrain, and I like the fact that actually I've had I've sculpted some of it. So the base is the texturing on the base is stuff that I've done, and the wood texture on the barrels is stuff that I've done. So it's really nice actually to know that I've got a little piece of printable terrain that I've actually had a hand in. And he was a stand-up gent. He's lovely, a lovely guy, and really accommodating to our kind of interests. And I'd highly recommend it. It's a really good part of the weekend. So hopefully they'll run it again next year, because I'm assuming it's been fairly well received and quite successful the last couple of years. So if anyone gets an opportunity to do it, I'd highly recommend it. Although wait until I've booked my spot, because I want to go back and do it again next year.
It was definitely, I can't say no how much of a highlight it was. Just it was fascinating, the whole process, and just how effortlessly Tom made it look. Going, oh yeah, we'll do that, yeah. Oh, do you want some chains? And you go, yeah, how about a bit of rope? Yeah, we'll do that. Bit of battle damage, do all that. And well, yeah, so
to some extent this is why you guys missed out a little bit in the he was like, oh god, Tom, he makes it look completely effortless. I've actually had a go, and it is incredibly hard to do it. And to be fair, I'd partaken in a bit of alcohol on the Friday night, so I did have a slight, and the Saturday night, so I had two nights worth of alcohol in me, so my hands weren't exactly the steadiest in the world, but it was still really hard to do it well and do it properly, and how fast and skillfully he can do it. Now, you know, obviously appreciative, it's his job, so he's got a lot more hours of experience and practice compared to us. But no, it's really cool. Although I'm quite excited about the idea of eventually trying to do some myself, but that's a long way down the line, because
along with you engraving, laser cutting, and 3D printing.
Yeah, 3D
and terrain building.
Well, I've already built some terrain. I'm building some more. So,
can we concentrate on a board that's the right size first?
That's what I'm doing. Until they change it. Now we're going to go down to 11 by 14.
Okay. So, the last chance qualifier was a thing at SteamCon. I've pulled up the Longshanks page, and I've got the spread of guilds. So I thought, if I share the spread of guilds, then we could have a discussion about that, about what if we think it's interesting, or if you don't think it's interesting, I'm pretty sure. So the most represented guild in the LCQ, the last chance qualifier for the Worlds, was the Butchers with 17 players. So out of the 90 players, there were 17 Butchers. The second most popular guild. Yeah. The second most popular is Morticians, with 11.
That's where I was.
Then the next one, both with 9, was Masons and Fishermen. Then we had 3 guilds on 7, which was the Alchemists, the Blacksmiths, and the Brewers. 6, we had 2 with Hunters and Farmers. Then we had Engineers with 4, Union with 3. Falconers with 3, and 1 rat catcher, no order.
And all of those ones that went big on the new popular guilds were all wrong, because the winning team were Blackheart Union.
Yes, they were. Yes, because Henry Kay won it.
Yeah, Henry Kay won it.
Was Dave's Crow in that?
Yeah.
Well, he clearly plays them better than I do. So
well, that's a given.
Well, you play yours as the not intended, though.
Yeah, just that.
So, Butchers.
Yes, Butchers. I'm not surprised, to be honest. Ox is in a fantastic place at the moment.
I think there was quite a lot of this. I think early on in the when it first came out, and all of the different, we kind of had all the various guild reviews. Everyone was saying how strong Ox was, so I'm kind of not surprised that a few people jumped on the, not the Ox bandwagon, but they kind of jumped on with him being that strong. But I think he's probably quite easily countered or quite easily shut down.
Yeah, potentially. So I think a lot of people's first love were Butchers. So from season one, it was Butchers or Fish, generally speaking, were people's first love. I know yours was Union Dave before you even start. Yeah, so a lot of people like the Butchers. Butchers maybe waned a little bit in season three, potentially. Season two, they were really strong with Philip. And then they've waned a little bit. And now season four, they seem to be coming back. Maybe not a top-level guild, but people are going, yeah, Butchers are a thing now. I'm going to crack out my Butchers for a bit and play a couple of games with them. Could be that, to maybe. Be
honest, yeah, definitely. It's weird also how one change to a player like Shank sends him from someone who's constantly warming the bench to someone who is always on the pitch now.
Yeah.
Literally gaining that, yeah, gaining that four influence cap has really increased his usability.
Yeah, and 6-inch owner is a thing. My God.
6-inch owner. Amazing.
Right, so I had the pleasure/misfortune against playing against Season 4 Ox Butchers, piloted by Charles Nursa at a tournament. And his legendary turn, I think he got 7 VPs.
That's nice.
Which was a thing. It was just like, yep, Shank's going to hit you and just hit for loads. Old Boiler's going to chuck a 6 damage axe at you with bleed. Like, Jesus, it's hurting. Yeah, it was something of beauty when you can set up that owner in such a way, along with the legendary, to just destroy a team. But yeah, so Butchers were the most represented guild in that one. Morticians.
Not surprising.
Probably not a lot of surprise.
No.
Where are we? Maybe.
Brewer surprised. 7. It seems to be a lot of people that were really down on Brewers this season because they were a bit thinking that Esther's wasn't as good as she was, and that they didn't seem to be have been given any of the buffs that they thought that they kind of needed. I was surprised that 7 people took them.
Yeah. Maybe Hunters only getting 6 was a bit of a shocker to me.
Yes, definitely. Having had played against Skaver in season 4, she's so dangerous. It's trying to hide the ball from Skaver is nigh on impossible.
What, a triple dodge on one Zard to play around?
Exactly.
I think if she was emerging at the time, wasn't she though? So I think unless someone had kind of jumped on and realised how good she was early on, they might not have practised enough to feel confident going into the LCQ with running Hunters and her. Maybe.
Yeah. To be honest, I did have a lot of success with Iron holding the ball in cover.
Yeah.
Literally, you just go for that counter-attack, double push on one, done. Skaver is removed from the situation.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Literally close control, high armor in cover. So, if you haven't got that, then good luck, young man.
Blacksmiths, I thought they'd be a bit more represented potentially because Blacksmiths, the internet seems to like them at the moment.
Yes, understandable. The Blacksmiths are very strong at the moment.
Mason's having 9.
Yeah, that one's surprising.
What joint third represented guild?
Yeah, this is it. I wouldn't have expected quite so many Mason's players to be there.
I don't know. Yeah, that was quite a surprising one to me personally. So that was kind of like Friday into Saturday. So Saturday, there was quite a lot of seminars going on. I didn't attend any because I was just smashing open play. Rich, you went to one, didn't you?
Yeah, I attended. I had a short attendance on the design, the new Shark Entertainers player, and then I attended the second one to design the Shark Entertainers player. I haven't done one of these before, and I was really surprised with just how they work. Literally, a load of guys just throwing ideas at Sherwin, and then just talking through what, like, the reason why behind everything. So it's nice to see how not everything that was suggested was taken up on, because some of the things that were suggested were very, very broken.
Right. give me your most obnoxious broken suggestion that was made.
The character gains +1/+2 kick for every influence that's allocated to them.
What?
Like a 20-inch kick with a 10 kick stat. I'm just gonna score 10, for my. Yeah.
This is it. Oh, half forwards. You've now got an extra 4/8 kick. Good luck, young man. but apparently.
I tell you what, if the player only started with like a 1/2 kick, then that's not that bad, because that's a 5/10 if you can only have 4 influence max. So actually, having laughed about how broken it is, if the kick stat starts ridiculously low, then actually it's not as bad as I thought it was.
Yeah, this is it.
Actually, expanding that slightly more is, if you're going for a shot, that's got to be your last action of the turn, so you'd be wasting like 4 influence.
Oh, I thought it was just if they allocated it at the start, then that's their stat.
It's just if you're allocated it at the start, you gain that much kick. So literally, when you're going to do a run with your striker, what do? You load them up. So it'd be having 4 anyway. So it's just sort of like, we'll just
do
have
you
all
think
of this
it would
as
be
a
more interesting if it was at the point you did your kick, whatever influence you have then.
Yeah, that would make.
Yeah, or what you've spent up until that point.
Because otherwise you're getting super shot for free, aren't you? On a 4/8 model or whatever. Okay. Yeah, because then you've got 4 influence, you can go do whatever you want with, and then you've still got a 5/10 kick at the end of it.
So that was one idea that was quickly poo-pooed.
Yeah, I don't think that'll make it onto the actual card.
Well, you never know. You never know.
Was there another one of them that has got like an incredibly short playbook or something?
That was it. Yeah, really, really high tack and like a 2 or 3 long playbook. They're like, oh yeah, give him like tack 6 or tack 7 and have it like a 2-column playbook, so you can basically. I can see the thought process behind it, because you're like, oh yeah, it's an actor or an actress or an acrobat, however it was described, and they're like, yeah, they can generally adapt to what they need to do. And I'm like, yeah, but if you've got 4 results to pick from on 2 columns, everything's momentous. You're like, yeah, watch Raptastic.
Yeah, let's get a couple of credits. Let's knock you down. Let's just get 20 momentum.
Yeah. Look at this. Momentous 8. Rap for Momentous 8. Oh, Slot Smiths. But to be fair, that does give a bit of a more of a Brewers feel for having such a small playbook.
Yeah, having the shorter playbook for longer tack is nice, but yeah, that's kind of a bit excessive.
This is it. So overall, it went really, really well. From what I saw, it was a really enjoyable seminar that there was a lot of debate and a lot of discussion around. And then obviously I went to the second half, which was the the design of the actual model itself. And there was a lot of discussion around the 3 elements that really needed to be incorporated into the model, which was sort of relation to Shark. So sort of tying in Shark's aesthetic, tying them into the Brewers, and then also having a entertainer's identity as well. So I feel that Steamforge might have made a rod for their own back by trying to tie in so many different themes all into one model.
Oh, right. You know, yeah.
So basically, there was a lot of discussion of, like, what do we tie into Shark? Are we going to have the braids? Are we going to have the shoulder pad? Because let me ask you two, when you think of Shark, what part of his aesthetic do you think of first?
long flowing blonde hair and a big stick.
And his his shoulder pad, his shark teeth shoulder pad.
This and face is it. Tattoo. This is... His little eye mask thing with the paint over his eyes.
Yeah, this is it. So I think the model that got designed by Russ, it had the shoulder pad, like the jaws sort of as a belt, which I thought was quite a nice touch.
Yeah.
So if I tried to suggest, because if you're trying to incorporate the brewers as well, they have a lot of the barrel shoulder pads.
Barrel with teeth.
So what I was thinking is, yeah, you could literally incorporate the teeth into the shoulder pad and have it all made out of wood.
Yeah. That's so quite cool.
But that didn't get taken up, sadly.
One of the things that I thought was interesting was the type of mask. I know it was an entertainer, but the minute I seen that mask, I was thinking Decimate.
Yeah, Decimate, exactly.
But then Decimate's a brewer now, so, you know.
Yep, true story.
Not a mason, eh, Rich?
No, not a mason. It's fine, we've got Vet Chisel.
Yeah, yeah, you have. So, Saturday, Dave, what did you do on Saturday? Was Saturday the day we played Dark Souls?
I think...
Yeah, it was.
No, it was Friday. We played Dark Souls on Friday.
Okay, on Friday, me and Dave played Dark Souls. It was really good. I kept.
That's it. Yeah, looking forward to it. I'm looking forward. Oh yeah, you and your dodging. If only you could do more than one damage a turn, you'd we might have survived.
So,
that was good fun. That was a demo run by Jordan.
Jordan Walker, is it? One of the pundits.
It was a good time. So it was kind of nice to play a game, and you've obviously now experienced it, and we're going to be trying to do some recording of Dark Souls, the board game,
in the near future. So what Dave was alluding to with my dodges was whatever I had the assassin?
Assassin, yeah.
Instead of rolling to block, I could just roll dice and have to roll dodges, which were probably slightly more unlikely to happen. But I was having exceptional rolls, so then I was getting arrogant with it. So, like, a boss would hit me, go, hitting you for six. I go, otherwise known as nothing. And it just went on and on. And I just kept missing. And everything kept missing me. And then Dave died.
But, yeah. I think I was the last death, wasn't I? Yeah, but...
You lost it for us, Dave.
It is great fun, though, and... It was really funny. There's a couple of moments where it was like we were trying to math it out about who was going to be the tank and who was going to be going first, and then it was just it all went terribly wrong, and one person got hit about six times in one round of comp. We walked so into funny. A room, and, like, made a mistake here.
That was hilarious. That
was you and me as friends, but two new people that we'd not met before joining the table, and we all just had a really good time. So that's nice. That's what you want from a board game, really.
Yeah, definitely, and it's one that we are looking forward to getting on the channel at some point yeah. soon, along with everything else that we've promised.
Much stuff.
What?
So much stuff. Not enough time.
Yes. Eventually.
So I was just doing loads of open play. I wasn't Saturday. Oh, we've done a scramble. Done like a little 8-man tournament. Yeah. Came second.
How did you get on?
Came second.
Woo. Nice.
So I got spanked by Howard in the final. Yay. Always good. And had a nice audience, which is always nice when you're playing against the British national champion.
It's only because I've watched you two play before, so I just enjoy watching your games. Plus Dan's just a really good player, so it's always nice to watch a good player, particularly when they're playing with a guild that you want to use as well. You're like, okay, watching.
Furiously taking notes, but
just sort of watching how he does it, really, and it's interesting. It's always interesting. My shortest game ever was a game against Dan Harwood in a tournament. I can't remember if it was last year at some point, and that was a 25-minute game, Blackheart versus Shark, and it was like 12-4, three goals. or four goals, and that was it. Wow. 25 minutes. That was great, because I mean, it was quite refreshing, because normally my games go on a bit, as has been alluded to before. But that was like just for an hour or so, or hour and 20 minutes, just pottering around the room watching other people's games was actually quite pleasant.
Sorry, Rich has just put something in the chat that's just really made me laugh.
I'm just a bit very funny.
Go on, Rich, you might as well share it now, because it's proper switch my attention off what we're talking about.
Sorry, I didn't mean to be so distracting. It was just a correction of what Dave said. He said the shortest game ever he's had was against Dan Harwood. I'm like, no, the shortest game you've ever had is against Ryan.
So, to give context, Ryan has got the same vertically challenged issues that Dave's got.
Yeah, this is it. Me and Luke.
Technically, I don't call being 5 foot seven vertically challenged, to be fair, but yeah.
Doesn't
matter. Yeah. At least this is where we get to eat second breakfast and don't feel bad about it, though, so it's okay.
This is it. You gotta take that ring to to.
I don't know. I call the taste of strawberries, Sam. Right. So on that note, given that that's not an IP that they SteamCon, move on.
So, I played all right. So what did I play? I played against Scather, Blacksmiths. Yeah, but I played against Scather, then Blacksmiths, then Dan's Fish in that little scramble. It was great. It was really good fun just having a quick three-round event. It was just, it was really fun.
You got through to the final and obviously played against Scather, and we've talked before about how much of a threat we think she is. So what did you do against her that made that you didn't struggle, or did you struggle? You still managed to
what I'd done, out? I let her score a goal. I surrounded her with Flask, Venin and Catalyst, and I just left them around her and left her boxed in. So she couldn't dodge away. So she was down three tack. And I was like, go on, hit one of them. The easiest target's Catalyst. He's got a Mertz knockdown on two. And then I think I left her on one. I think he didn't put any influence on the following turn, I think. And then I just left for another turn on one health. I was like, okay, you wait there. A lot of the thing I spent was trying to control the bear. So I was putting burn on the bear and sticky bomb on the bear, and then using the ball really well to pass and dodge out of range of the bear. Yeah. I think with the current hunters, if you can keep the bear at bay, that's probably half the battle.
Yeah.
Because the bear is a thing.
I came up against Ulfa, and again, his threat range is incredible. He literally just reaches out and takes the ball from you. It's very, very good. A lot of people have been saying about how you see Cena in every game, but I think the football game is just as viable.
Yeah, but you can put Cena within the football team. So, I'm going to understand it. So, he had Scather, Snow, Cena, Minerva. Did he have Chaska? Don't know, he might have had Chaska. Hang on, I'm just pulling up the Hunter's cards to see who he had. He didn't have Jaker. Oh, he had Vetminx, Zarola, Minerva, and Cena.
Zarola's definitely got in there because of Midnight Offering, isn't it, really?
Yeah, because the bear. Yeah, I'm going to Midnight Offering the bear forward. Always nice. But yeah, it was a lot of resources was in to shutting the bear down. And then while doing shutting the bear down, putting chip condition damage on the bear, and then just putting it a little bit around the team. So it was like a game of chess. So I let Scather do a thing, and then I just kind of I always expect to go a goal down against them.
Yes.
But one thing I've started to use a little bit more since Smoke went up to tap 5 is people always expect Smoke to go last in a turn. So on turn one, if someone, say, retrieves a ball and leaves someone out flapping a little bit, I go in with smoke and I do my Piper trick of double push, double push, double push into my half of the pitch and then smoke and teleport away.
Yes.
And it works quite nice. It's a new thing I've been trying. I was like, because no one expects smoke to go, right, I'm going first. I'm going to push you back into my side of the pitch, your activated player.
Yeah.
Now, no. The three people who listen to this will know.
Yeah, it's your favourite.
Isn't that us three?
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably right. So, I suppose the Saturday night, the big highlight was the keynote.
Yep.
Let's talk about, I don't know, some of the spoilers. So let's start with God tier, because we haven't talked about God tier. We started off doing our God tier.
We heard a lot about the new campaign play that's going to be coming out, which we're all super keen for. We saw a small spoiler for one of the new champions. No name, but a lady with a baby dragon in her arms.
Yeah. So we saw two spoilers for new champions.
What, a triple-headed dog thing, weren't it?
Yes, that was on the jigsaw. Let's come into that.
Ragnaruff, is it Ragnaruff? I can't remember they said the name for it, but I can't remember what Steve said the name was. I'm sure it was Ragnaruff.
Whoever comes up with these names needs to get back in the box. Splashlings. Splooshlings, sorry.
Better than Splooshlings.
Yeah, this is it.
But yeah, so we did have two champion spoilers and a further slight slip of the tongue from Matt Hart as well.
The 24 champions.
Yeah, 24 champions, and we already knew that we've only seen 15. So I think she makes 16. The dog makes 17. So there's another 7 champions to see.
Mm.
Although I think there was originally a female dwarf being developed, but I don't know if she's going to disappear because of.
I'd hope not.
Naya's reclassification, because Naya was a gnome, and now she's been reclassified to a dwarf. I don't know if that means that we won't see that that female. I can't remember. I'm sure I saw the artwork. There was like a female.
I think that was concept art during the Kickstarter. Concept, I think
during the Kickstarter for future champions, so everyone was like, "Oh wow, she's going to be a champion at some point." Now, that might not happen anymore now, but she looked really good, so it'd be a shame if she disappears. But I can see it happening now because of the way Naya's been reclassified.
Yeah, we were speculating at the time that she was going to be part of the retail launch, which we did hear about at during the keynote, in the fact that I think they're aiming at releasing two champions in a box.
I really like that. That's a really good idea.
Work very well together, but obviously they're balanced in the box so you can play against each other to try and teach yourself the game. So I can see buying a lot of those two champion boxes. It does sound like a really good idea.
And it leads into like the campaign things as well. Like with so they were like, here, so say you're going to do, I don't know, Dragon Lady, the campaign to do with her. So the players buy that box, and then I think you can do like a narrative-based campaign based around that character, which I think is really cool, with like a campaign and progression system and everything like that.
Well, it's part of the thing that excites me about that whole organised play aspect is they were talking all the way through about the fact that actually it's that the way that they want to play it is to tell a story. So it's not about, I went and played.
I went 2-2 or whatever.
I went 2-2 or whatever, yeah. It's about, you know, all the kind of the story aspect of it, which I think is really nice. And that kind of really excites me as well about the potential for what that will look like. Obviously, they've not really started on it yet is the reality because of the fact they're waiting to lock down the core rules. But now that they are pretty much there, then that's going to start developing in earnest. So I'm really, really excited to see what comes from it. And I do love the. I'd be interested to see how they balance some of those champions in a one versus one box. Because I mean, Shapers versus Slayers, it's going to be a bit tricky to develop to balance them. But do people, if you were going to buy the box yourself, do you want to buy a box that's got two Shapers in it? You probably want to shape somebody else. So it's going to be interesting to see how they pair those guys up.
Yeah.
Make them balanced and interesting to play against in a small one-on-versus-one, but also mean that, you know, someone's buying the box and is happy with the two champions they get from it to extend their range of models.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great idea, though. It's a really good idea. I'm not kind of poo-pooing it. I'm just curious to see how they do it and how they keep it balanced and interesting whilst also meaning that, you know, somebody wants both champions. And it might be they don't. It might be you have to kind of split the box or whatever, but I'm going to collect them all anyway, so...
Yeah, so something interesting. So I was jumping back to Naya being classified as a dwarf. I had a bit of a chat with Steve about this, about with the classifications and what was the thought from her being a gnome to a dwarf. And he said he wanted, like, races to have identities within it. So you think Rodri, you thinking he's, you know, he's got high armor, he's not going to be shoved around, he don't like being pushed, that kind of stuff. So he's saying that's almost like giving you a characteristic of the dwarf race. So
yeah.
Naya has a similar kind of characteristic, so that's what her design space is going in. So it made sense to make her a dwarf as well. So, you know, if you're going against three dwarves, for example, you know they're not going to be shoved around and that. So the races are identifiable, but their playstyle's identifiable in a way by their race.
Yeah. And that kind of makes sense. And also, obviously, it rationalises down to the fact that you've not got any gnomes anymore means that actually... It's slightly easier to have those racial traits because you've only got five races to actually kind of contend with rather than a growing number of them. And you can bring those in as it goes on, but it just keeps them a little simpler, isn't it?
Yeah.
It means you can have those kind of multiples of one race. Yeah.
So within the multiples, so we've got two...
Finvars and Lorsan.
We've got Blackjaw and Rattlebones.
Yeah, you've got Mournblade and
other Leitch dude, Morrigan.
Yeah. Titus is the only human, is he? Or humanish?
Shale's human.
Oh yeah, sorry. Yeah, I thought I'd kind of got him as druid sort of thing, but yeah. So Shale.
That's an occupation, not a race.
I've been watching too much Critical Role. And they kind of class it as a race, almost.
An occupation?
Yeah, I'm a druid.
Go on, indeed. I'm looking for a druid.
Yeah? Where else do you look for a druid? Duh.
LinkedIn.
No, don't be stupid. They don't use that.
Nobody uses LinkedIn.
No one uses LinkedIn. Think they're indeed a monster. Is Monster even a thing anymore?
I don't think I've ever heard of Monster, so probably not.
Monster used to be a CV. This is probably going in the early noughties.
Yeah, I do remember that.
See?
I've had a job since I was 16, so I've never really used it.
Don't get started on jobs.
Rangosh is a Minotaur.
Yes, Rangosh is a Minotaur. Thanks,
Rangosh. So we're going to see Rangale.
Rangale and the Shattered Hose.
Yeah. Well, it's either that or you could see something along the lines of, you know, beasts or mythical beasts, because Half Tusk is...
He's a troll.
Troll,
Minotaur. Could just have kind of...
Cyclops.
You know, fantastic beasts, yeah. Cyclops, things like that. You might not. It might be that, you know, you have got
those centaurs. Centaur champion. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is getting out of hand.
I don't know, I'm suddenly really excited about the idea of a centaur champion now.
There you go. You're welcome. Anyone at Steamforged, centaur champion. So, the elephant in the room, the Miner's Guild, the Miner Guild.
Oh, dear.
The tank!
There's a tank in the room.
So, as Matt Hart said, the internet, people didn't like it when they said, how the hell do you get a horse into Guild Ball?
Or a bear.
Or a bear. Or anything else. So, the miners brought a tank.
Yes. Wow.
I'll reserve judgment. Because there was a couple of posts on Gubs that I kind of cheekily responded to with a bit of a kind of over the top trait that it might have, and that generated some discussion as well, but I don't think I'm gonna kind of I'm not going to consider ponder too much until I've seen some hard and fast rules for how it's going to interact with things. Because I'm fairly sure they're not going to just, you know, create this kind of ridiculous piece of all-stomping power that's going to imbalance the game. But by the same token, because it's a tank, you feel like that's one of the things I speculated on this post on Facebook, is that how do you knock over a tank? I kind of said, oh yeah, it's going to be immune to knockdown, and I was saying it kind of tongue in cheek, but actually it's kind of like, how do you do it? Because I also worked out.
How do you knock down a snake?
How do you what?
I don't know.
Knock down a snake.
Mesmerize it by drumming your fingers. That's what they do in the.
You do a lot of snake charming, Dave.
I haven't done a lot of snake charming, no. Hence the reason I just know you drum.
I thought it was hamsters that you rubbed and they fell asleep.
That's rabbits. You flick a rabbit over, knock down a rabbit, you flick a rabbit over onto its back and it kind of falls asleep.
Oh, sorry, what are you talking about? This conversation went very...
How do you knock down a tank? And also, why is Boiler the best person to do it?
I'm not quite sure why Boiler is the best person to do it.
Because, to be fair, it's Boiler and Oxen combo. Because Boiler's anatomical, he's got one of the best knockdowns in Butchers, and
the owner's got minus on armor with the vent.
And also, they ain't tough as well, so he can get minus three armor. So anything that's got heavy, high armor, Boiler suddenly becomes the best thing to do to get a knockdown on.
Especially as the boy.
Surely anyone with a high tack, low knockdown should be able to achieve it.
Catalyst, tack 8, knockdown on 2.
Hammer, tack 7.
Anvil, tack 6, knockdown on 1, is he?
If it's armor 5,
yeah.
All of the ones, and he's failed.
We don't know it's armor 5.
We don't know it's armor 5.
Yeah. Armor 5 would be excessive. It's not made out of armadillos.
That was where the thread was going, so that's why I dropped that little kind of, oh, what if it's immune to knockdowns?
It's going to be interesting. Surely going to be interesting.
What if it was immune to knockdowns, okay, but it took double effects from fire?
Yeah. Or if it's just incredibly slow. It was like, you know, moves like 1, 2.
But it's got a range shot. Guild role. I suppose we could talk about their guild role, because that's already a good time to talk about it.
Yeah their guild role is so strong.
Don't want to say what it is.
At the start of their activation, they can be placed within 2 inches of their current position. So you can go edge to edge. So depending on the size of your model, you can make a larger move.
Hence why tanks on a 50 mil.
Yeah, hence why tank on a 50 mil, you can effectively
move it back 7 inches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is it. So it supports their guild design around having really super tough, hard to take out models. But they have been billed as a 3-0 team.
Yeah.
So I'm really keen to see how they're going to go about getting 3 goals. Don't get me wrong, they have a tank. Yeah, but what I'm getting at is they're two players that play down, Salvo and Colossus, both of which are very good at scoring goals.
Yeah.
Salvo's got ball retrieval as well.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you can affect it. Like, if you look at the size of Mule as well, one of their other models that was spoiled at SteamCon USA, that's potentially 3 50-mil models in one team.
Yep. I'll call the Mole as a mascot as well. Digger.
It's amazing.
So we think, do we want to make any predictions about anything within the Miners Guild?
It's really hard to... I feel it feels like they're going to have low movement.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm convinced that you... Because they've got that place, and the place can avoid traps, it can avoid blows, it avoids everything. It's so good in itself. It feels like everyone's going to have really low movement. And actually, a tank moving 1-2 actually isn't beyond the realms of possibility. because it's almost like it burrows underground quicker than it can move over ground. So you'll get a 1 or 2 inch movement out of it, but then you'll get like a 5 inch jump at the start of the turn.
But that also ties into the other thing that Matt said is, what if players get drawn down with it?
If they go in these holes and they create holes where they go down?
Like the pseudo tag along where they drag the players with them. Follow up and tag along. So rather than having that, it's almost like a reverse of that. So then the tank goes and drags everyone with it.
Down a sinkhole type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think they'll be quite repositiony, because obviously, you know, by their very nature, because of the guild ball they've got. But I think maybe the low, a bit like Stick the Scarecrow, they might have other ways of moving around the field that isn't base move related.
Yeah.
Maybe something like that. And I think maybe kind of low health, because they are the 3-0 team. So it's tricky. Oh, sorry, Salvo. What's Salvo's health?
14, I think.
Okay, I was thinking 13.
I think he was 13. Give me 2 seconds.
I think he was 12.
So he might
16.
Be
kind of... He was 14. He's now 16. He's 4-1 with 16 health.
All right. I was just thinking maybe they'll have low health. They'll be kind of a bit fragile, but might have a bit of armor. I suppose that's kind of that leading into blacksmiths. Territory with their apprentices, isn't it, really?
Yeah, but to be fair, with Mule and the tank, Fissure, we should probably call it, they're both going to have a lot of boxes of health, if you look at the size of them. If you're on a 50 mil base, you tend to have a lot of health.
Yeah.
Bone saw.
There's always the exception.
There's always an exception, yeah.
Yeah, like Cena, Colossus, Faris, all have a lot of health.
Vecna has quite a lot.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just trying to think of exceptions there.
You've found the one that proves the rule, I'm afraid, Luke.
Pride. Ah.
Pride has the same health as a player.
And it's a mascot.
And it's a mascot.
It's a 50 mil base with 10 health.
Yeah. Right, let's not dwell on it.
Right. Okay. Free it's city draft or lamplighters. What do you want to talk about?
I'm a union player, so I'm kind of fairly indifferent to free city draft. Although I was voting at the end because of the fact that I've got an idea about playing a few guilds this season. I was interested in making sure a few people made their way into the right places.
Okay, so we'll do the free city draft. So hang on, let me pull up the results. Number one, boring, surprise, surprise, Amber went to the Farmers.
Yep.
That's pretty near. Number two, Alchemist came second, didn't they?
Somehow.
I don't know. But they got Kami, how are we saying it? Kami.
I think they said Kami on the keynote. I've been calling it Kami.
Sam Midlandsness. Kami. Kami it is. So interesting one that, as an alchemist. I'm not overly happy, I don't think. Well, I'm happy we came second, but I was really trying to pump for Nomad, to be honest with you. With her being like a pistolier and like a range thing, I don't think alchemists need another source of like range damage, range condition, range something. Like,
but if the teaser that was dropped is anything to go by, and she gains a kill the ball, then I'm sure you won't complain anymore, though.
I'm not complaining now, but I think probably Nomad, by being like a janky winger, is how he was described, of, I think, having like a toolbox character is very situational. Like, I don't know, maybe having balls gone, maybe having close control, something like that.
Yeah.
Is the kind of thing. I thought that kind of tech would be more useful. But the people voted. And Alchemist came second, which was quite a surprise. pleasant surprise for myself.
Yeah, definitely.
So third, the Butchers. They got Lane. They got the smoked meat. Smoked meat, is that? Is that what they just call them?
Yeah,
smoked
meat. Yeah, I don't know. Smoked meat is the thing. Yep.
This so is it. Butchers have got a super striker to go along with Brisquet.
Yeah.
So if you throw in Shank, I know Shank's got a 2-6 kick, but he's got such a long threat range that actually you could suddenly cobble together a fairly decent Butchers footballing team now as well.
Fill it,
yeah.
Brisquet, Lane.
Shank, yeah. Oiler, Meat Hook. Pretty fast mobile. Take gold team. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. And Phillip's no slouch at the moment, is she? She can still do takeouts.
Oh, God,
especially
yeah.
with the dodges now being built into her damage, into the actual playbook.
So that's interesting.
Take three strikers and then throw in Phillip and Meat Hook for tooled up so you can still turn Phillip into a monster. And lack of knockdown though is a bit worrying in that team.
Then why not take Boyle for the range damage and the getting bleed out?
Yeah, okay, yeah, get the bleed out before you send her in. Yeah, you see that.
So there was a bit of I think Butchers, they were umming and ahhing, so Cammy was their first pick, I believe.
Yeah,
that was their most popular one. However, because the Alchemist pinched it from under their nose, they had to have their second one. So that's third. Fourth is where it just basically turned everything on its head, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Which was the Hunters Guild getting Edge.
Yes.
That was the vote that I was going for because I liked the artwork, but her portrait. And I don't play morticians, so I didn't want her in mort, so I had to kind of decide where I was going to try and put her. So I was, that my weekend of SteamCon was spamming votes for Edge and Hunters. And also, every time I went up and did it, the guys that were recording the vote said, blimey, you know, you're another Hunters guy that's doing that. So it seems like we were all doing it over the weekend.
I think after last year, with that bloody letter off Obulus, I think everyone's just out for screwing the morticians, which, yeah, good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them. So, them getting Edge, who's Scaver's sister,
yep,
really threw a lot of... Because Hunters were, like, second last, weren't they?
Yeah.
So, Brewers were dead last, and Hunters were then. They just had a mega resurgence to get to, what, fourth? Which is incredible. Yeah.
I think they dragged themselves up to about fifth or sixth just before SteamCon, and then they've obviously managed to overtake more to the death.
There's always something like this. So last year, it was when everyone made the concerted effort to make sure Fish didn't get gutter last year.
Yeah.
Which I still
rejoiced. Yeah, it was hilarious. So, yeah, Edge kind of threw it all out. Then the next one, the Morticians got Gaffer, which is what Blacksmiths wanted.
Yeah, which upset the Blacksmiths because I think the Blacksmiths took some took their foot off the gas to help out other guilds to try and screw over the Morts, which meant that Blacksmiths didn't get their own first choice. But irony. It also meant, yeah, this is it. But doesn't it also mean that the Morts then got their fourth pick, was it?
No, I think their third. They wanted Lane, they wanted Edge and Lane, and I think Gaffer was their third.
Understood. Either way, they still end up with their third pick, which just to be what the Smiths wanted.
So without the Hunters' resurgence, Morticians would have got Edge, and then the next one is the Blacksmiths. They would have got Gaffer.
Yeah.
Where in actual fact, you got Cutlass the Keeper. Come on, Rich. I'm turning my mic off for a second, and you can give us a monologue on how you feel about this.
We didn't do the salt warning at the start of the episode, so I should.
Oh yeah, bing bong. Anyone who's been advised against a high sodium diet, turn off now. Bing bong.
This literally, I'll be very concise. I don't feel Blacksmiths need a keeper. I think with Iron having close control, I think you can keep the ball away as much as you need to. And with having such a large amount of 2-inch melee in the team, it's quite difficult to engage the goal without being engaged by another player. So personally, I think unless Cutlass is going to be on maybe like a 40 mil base and really bring something special, I just don't think she'll see the pitch.
Maybe so, at the rebalance, they'll reduce some of your 2-inch melee to 1-inch.
There's always that, isn't there? That happened to Alloy. Why not everyone else?
I'm broke.
Yeah, happened to somebody else as well. Yeah,
that's not. They're not. Don't change the subject.
I'm joking, mate. I'm just
Interested. So, right, on the subject of a goalie, so the main goalies in the game are Compound, Tenderizer, and Skulk.
Yes.
Anyone else? Pride.
Have they reclassified Velocity now?
Yeah, Veteran Velocity as a keeper. It's just a striker.
Yeah, but Velocity's now a striker.
So, the other interesting thing about that is, obviously, she was a keeper and now she's been reclassified, so there's no guarantee that people will stay in the positions they're in. Although I imagine this will be a keeper for now, but if she's not being used in Blacksmiths, you might find she gets reclassified.
So, Rich, how would you feel if, say, Cutlass was packaged as, say, a Skulk-style goalie rather than your traditional counter-charge thing?
I think I'll compose it with another question. How many times do you see Skulk played in Morticians or Ratcatchers?
It depends. It's if you're going against a footballing team, Skulk is key.
This is it. If you're going up against a footballing team, personally with Blacksmiths, I'll just go all out, just kill the players. So I wouldn't really stress too much about a keeper. It really depends.
I think until you've been on the receiving end of that obnoxious Skulk thing where he's got horrific odour in, he walks into base to base with you, and he gets, is it pest control off as well? So you're minus 1-2 kick, your line of sight's blocked, and you're engaged, then you've got to spend 2 influence to kick. It can proper shut, and the fact that he's on a 40 mil base, once you're on the receiving end of that, you're like, oh my god, that is.
To be honest, it just doesn't match my gaming style. I'm quite an aggressive player when I play, so having a very defensive model for preventing goals, I think it's removing an option from me to buffer my offense. So I just
I can agree with you on there as well, because I don't really play a defensive model, so a goalkeeper's never really kind of appealed to me either. So I can see the same thing. I don't really like the guy that just sits at the back and stays within 4 inches of the goal. I'd rather have him up front doing stuff, win or lose.
Nah, Compound is key. Don't
get me wrong, right? Pride, I've played quite a bit of Church over the weekend, over SteamCon weekend, and Pride is really good, but Pride is a mascot. Don't mind giving up your mascot slot for some defensive goal tech, which is great, because it still leaves your main 5 players to actually go and get the job done. But if you're giving up one of your actual players for a goalkeeper, so you've only got effectively 4 players who are doing the work, I just don't think that's good maths, in my opinion, just for
Blacksmiths don't have us, and you do have quite a lot of influence hungry players, like with Cinder, Slage.
Yeah, you don't have a mascot technically, do you, I suppose? So effectively, if she becomes your goalkeeping mascot,
Bathory.
Yeah, but she will be an apprentice, and she will only bring 1 influence, so that's not really a Bathory.
Yeah, I don't really know. I'm not.
You don't bring 1 influence models as a Bathory. Your general 1 influence models, they bring 1 influence for a reason, because it's because they can do a lot with the standard, like, that they can take.
I'm going to reserve judgment purely on the fact that they must be aware of the fact that they weren't really expecting it. So I'll be curious to see how they managed to kind of develop something that makes her interesting and useful. Oh. Because you're right, I was thinking she'll go in as a master so she can be a battery, but actually that'd be really tricky.
But it's a rookie draft, yeah.
This is it.
Maybe she'll be Vet Cinder's apprentice.
I doubt it, because Vet Cinder isn't going to lose the apprentice tag.
In the fluff, that's like a replacement ready for season 5 when Cinder becomes Cutlass's master. Who knows?
Who knows?
And then she hands over Furnace's sword to her. Yeah, there we go. I could write fluff. Worst fluff ever.
To be fair, you made me laugh during the keynote when they said that trying to write Gaffer into Morticians was going to be tricky. That did make me laugh. It was a real curveball for them.
So, on to the next ones. The Masons got Champ. No real surprise there, is it?
No, that's what they wanted.
Is that like Newbrook Champ, maybe?
Yeah, Newbrook. I can see that coming.
I think he's a 2-inch melee countercharge model.
Yeah, he seems like
he kind of fits in that brick role, which is already bloated with granite as well.
This is, yeah, exactly.
So all do you think...
Pills.
But do you think, I don't know, I don't know, as a Mason, what do you feel you needed, Rich?
To be honest, while I was initially very down on the Masons when they first started, they seem to have a lot. They still do have a lot. Do you know what I mean? But I think they do need a battery. I think that's the one thing that they're missing.
Mm-hmm.
They want them to be able to do something without influence. But what that is, you don't really mind as much. But...
And Champ, if you read all the fluff, she's generally standing in the middle barking orders, which you kind of see.
What's Hammer going to do?
What?
That's what Hammer does. He just barks orders in the fluff.
This is what I'm getting at. So I can see her being like a midfield control piece, that maybe like a toolbox. So it wouldn't bother me too much if she didn't have a counter attack. But, you know, 2-inch melee would be nice. To be honest, if you look at her, like her absolute sort of like super Christmas time, if she had sort of like a very similar thing to Hammer's legendary.
Yeah.
So if you could sort of put influence on her, and then she basically goes, right, this turn, everyone who starts an activation gets this, because she's sort of yelling orders, that would be fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, interesting.
Do you know what
Fish.
I mean?
So
she could be kind of like an offensive granite.
They could start driving that kind of is almost a theme for the Masons, in that because you've got Bet Chisel that can reallocate influence, you've got Honor that can do a superior strategy, so you might find that she has something that can shuffle influence around,
move stuff around, or like a nice aura or something like that. That
kind of influence reallocation could become a bit of a Mason's theme.
Yeah. This is what I'm getting at. So if she was more like a very much like a granite sort of toolbox model, but obviously along those lines, then I think she'd definitely see play. That'd be like a really interesting character.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
So Fish, they got Knuckles, whereas they were hoping for Cutlass.
Yeah. Do Fish need a goalkeeper?
I think they want it's essentially like a battery type thing for when you're
To stop a bit of the kind of thematics, I suppose, as well, in that
given Cutlass
history, Cutlass kind of fit in with the Fish theme straight away.
You have to forgive me. I don't really know. What is Knuckles?
He's a gentle giant with a heart of gold. Is it? Is what they said?
Yeah, giant with a heart of gold.
Yeah, big guy, isn't he?
So you see him for 40 mil. Base, etc., etc.
Another Kraken.
Another, potentially. I doubt he'll have momentous damage, though.
Mm. We won't have, yeah.
We won't. Next up, Engineers got Nomad. Because they need more toolbox janky wingers, don't they? That's where they're really lacking, if you ask me.
I think Engineers are going to be fantastic with Salvo, Nomad, Colossus, Velocity.
And the two players who are coming up from the minors.
Yeah, this is it. I think the three goal game with Engineers is going to have a massive revitalization with Nomad and the two players from the minors.
Yeah, definitely. And last but not least, the Brewers. They got Flea.
I was going to say, who did they get again?
Flea.
Flea to a good home.
Sorry. Feel sorry for Flea. That's like basically nobody wanted Flea.
Yeah,
I don't know what their description was like in the what they were kind of designed to do.
He loves animals,
and he has a dog.
So he was supposed to be the farmer's pig, then, was he?
Well, he was an ex-farmer in the fluff. So he he ran away from the farmers or left the farmers for whatever reason.
Yeah,
and that's essentially where he is.
Brewers, appropriately, then, that feels like good, because that means the Brewers and farmers have swapped models to. That ran away from their respective guilds of gone into the other ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is it.
Essentially, yeah. So, that was the Free City Graft. Overall, I really, really enjoyed it as a community event. I think it was probably the strongest of the three so far. So the first one was Butchers, what was it called? The Butchers one.
Civil War.
So the first one was the Butchers Civil War. Then there was the Union in Chains one. And now there's the Free City Draft. And I think my favourite one so far is the Free City Draft.
I have enjoyed it, but I found I engaged more with the Union Change.
I was going to say the same thing. It's been interesting, but I think I probably engaged more with Union Change. And that might be because new models and sculpts are always going to probably motivate me more than character.
Sure, the character bio.
Yeah, and a headshot. Although I did get inspired by Edge, I wasn't desperate to log games, as opposed to when you saw the model for Vet Gutter in Butchers, and I'm like, yeah, I'm all in on making sure she makes it to Butchers because that model looks awesome.
Yeah, so at the other side of that, when everyone's seen Vet Harry for Engineers, that's when they all jumped on it. So
yeah, I did. I voted.
I'll stick with my headshots.
And you still didn't get what you wanted. So
no, exactly.
Alchemists don't win either way.
I really enjoyed it. I like the strength of this one over the Union in Chains, I feel, is it was just you against one guild for this one in the Union in Chains, whereas the Free City Draft, there was so many variables and that going on that it just made it really interesting.
Really didn't know. I mean, there are certain ones that got nailed on fairly early or late on. But beyond that, you really you didn't know what was going to happen, because actually, if the same people are after the same player, whoever gets it, the other person might get someone really random,
And then steal the favourite off another one. It just ruins everything.
Yeah,
I'd be keen to see where Flea sat in the Brewer's preference.
I think the Brewers seem to get shafted a little bit due to, I think it's over the Decimate thing last year.
Yeah.
It's true. And
Morticians got shafted somewhat as well because of Morticians.
I think the Morticians have been, if you've read today's...
No, we're not talking about it.
Why not?
No.
No. It's off the table.
Oh, I'll go with the other point that I was going to say. Okay. They've managed to vote in a 14-year-old to the Brewers.
It was a more innocent, younger time when beer was weaker and everybody drank it because it's better than the water. Yeah. Well, that's what used to happen in medieval times.
Yes, it did, though. I'm sure you were there. I ate stunted growth.
It comes in pints.
Right, we've saved the best bit of the keynote to last. The Alchemist Miner Guild has been announced.
Not the best bit.
So, the Alchemists are getting the Lamplighters.
Yeah, who knows what that's going to mean, though. So, we'll see. I mean, I've listened to previous podcasts where they've Matt's talked about Lamplighters. And has talked about potential things around placement and stuff with lamp markers and things like this. So it could be anything, because obviously some of those ideas we've seen in the minor guild have already got that. So it's unlikely to see it again in another one. But then, lamp marker placements, we've got that with harvest markers. So are we going to see that? Seems like some of the ideas that you talked about. And I know, it's been like a long-running joke that he's talked about in the keynote himself, where it's just something he made up on the spur of the moment during an interview as an example of how you develop a new guild, and now it has become one, because I don't think he ever intended it to be one. It was just his kind of, running example. So I'll be interested to see how they end up playing. But I don't know if the ideas that he's previously talked about in other interviews on other podcasts will come to pass because of the fact that they seem to be already represented in other guilds.
I think who do we reckon is going to go down from the Alchemists? I reckon Mercury because he's fire based. Maybe Vitriol because he's fiery based.
Is in Crucible.
Crucible, yeah, Crucible and Mercury maybe.
If we're talking fire, it's got to be Catalyst.
I think he could, if they're going towards a goal orientated game, him and his current status could break them. Because of his easy knockdowns, his easy pushes, his repositions. He's such a strong piece. He's probably one of the...
activated, yeah, push him around and then have the guys that want to score go flying in on him, generate.
Yeah. I would love Catalyst going down, but I think probably from a balance point of view, maybe. Yeah, no. But then in the fluff, Vetcat is a thing.
It's true. Yeah, this is it. In the fluff, it has been moved on. So I don't think any standard players now go down.
Siren's gone down. Yeah, so, but with that, it's Vet Siren. It's like she changes with the waves and the ebb and flow. I think that's what Sharon said, something along those lines.
Yeah, I think that's what they said, yeah.
Right, got you. Because Vet Hearn plays down to the Falconers.
Yeah. But yeah, so I'm really excited about, of course, I'm excited about Lamplighters. Most understated thing ever. So, we're supposed to talk about the meta a little bit because we've all played a bit of Season 4 now. We've played quite a lot of games.
I haven't played against Scalp or Skaver.
You haven't played against Scalp or Skaver. Okay, so there. So which guilds do we think the winners and the losers are, I suppose, in Season 4 so far, based on our opinions only?
As soon as we saw the cards, everyone knew that Scalpel was going to be a thing. And she is a thing. Unless you're Baby John. Sorry, John, but... Yeah.
You've got to be able to roll dice, though. If you're incapable of rolling dice, then the best captain in the world can't save you.
Exactly. This is it. But yeah, like, I think right from the start, we were right in predicting that that Scalpel was going to be incredible. Skather is super strong. That's another one that we sort of picked up on in the guild previews as well.
I think people will work her out eventually because her thing is getting a super fast goal after that. As Luke talked about, she was controllable, but I think at the minute she's... Well, but I think she'll get found out of it.
Yeah.
I don't think the same for Scalpel. I think Scalpel's probably got more longevity.
Yeah. I think we're seeing a lot of Ox teams based around Ox, Boiler, Shank, and Standard Brisket, because I think Standard Brisket is one of the big winners in the Butcher's team since she gained the rule from Veteran Brisket.
I kind of feel like that's a nice in a way, because it's almost like Butcher's returning to OG 6. It's like the original 6 are really nice team again. I've got no opposition. I played against them, and there were some mistakes were made from me, but they are a really super strong team. I beat a Butcher's player, but I think I beat them because they failed to kind of consider how dangerous Blackheart can be when he's got 3 crowd outs. So I managed to kill Ox before he activated, but that was the only reason I won. Otherwise, he was going to walk over me very easily.
Yeah. This is it. So, and to be fair, Smiths are very, very strong at the moment. But as I've always said, it's sort of they do still struggle with the amount of influence, because I think they've properly been moved now to a mainly takeout centric game. But they do really need those extra goal influence to sort of really sort of set them off. I know I spoke to a lot of people over the weekend about Faris and how Faris fits into the team. And I can totally understand that with one influence, she has something silly like a 17-inch goal threat, which is fantastic. But outside of that, I don't believe she really brings a great deal to the team, because I can't see anyone dropping Vet Syndra at this point. So there's a certain team that you then build around her, which is obviously sort of doing quite well at the moment.
Yeah. What do we think? So Blacksmiths, Fish, yeah, they seem to have, I don't really know, they're a bit...
It'd be interesting when more people start using Fathom and she becomes a bit more widely available. I think that you might start seeing Fathom and Angel going in as combos and stuff and seeing some more interesting teams that possibly push them up again. It's, I mean, they've never gone away really, because they're still really good goal scorers. It's just she adds an extra element of movement and toolbox that make them better against certain players. Smelling salts against the Alps. But I think that double combo, if you can get it set up right, that double combo of going in and scoring a goal with Fathom and then letting them kick out and having Angel ready to go in a kind of position where she can get the ball wherever it goes, it's going to be an absolute nightmare. And I've had that done to me before with Honour and Harmony, but when you've got
two dedicated strikers,
one, and Angel's got a tackle dodge on one, success, momentum,
super shot.
Yeah, it's got, I think that's going to be, they're going to be a thing. But I think we have to wait until Fathom's a bit more widely available before we really start seeing that experimentation happen.
But to be honest, I think in all the seasons, Fish always come out quite well. I don't think Fish have ever had a particularly sort of hard time with like nerfs.
I think any team that's got that potential to score goals and be that fast and mobile and not have to worry about the grind of a takeout is always going to do well in the hands of a very good player. So they'll always win tournaments because good players will take those teams. And scoring three goals is safer in a weird way than trying to get six takeouts.
Yeah.
Because you can't hide the ball from Fish because they're so fast and they've got so much extra out of activation dodges. I think that's what makes them strong.
Do we think Alchemist is a winner?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not as much as maybe thought they were, but
they've had a complete rework. They're a lot more interesting, a lot more interactive. But
I tell you one thing I did. I played against them and really enjoyed that game. And we were kind of laughing. It was against one of our locals, to be fair. But we had a really good game and kind of laughing all the way through it. Really good fun. But actually, just some of the stuff that he was trying to pull off was just like, oh, it's so cool.
Play against me, I'll show you misery.
Well, I didn't play a game on Sunday in the end. I was all out by then. But I did sit down and watch Brewers Alchemist game, and some of the stuff that was going on was just like, oh, that's really cool. And then there were other things like, oh, I might have done this instead. And even the things I was suggesting I might have done instead, I was like, I'd love it if I could do that and pull it off. So it's got me really excited for them. They've been given a soapy bath, and there they are next on my assembly table.
Yeah, so yeah, I can't stress them enough how fun they are to play. Just the different things they can do. Yeah, maybe they're not the most amazing girl, but I don't care. I enjoy playing them. I have fun playing them. Brewers?
I don't know.
I think they're still getting a hard rap.
I think Esther's has got a really hard rap. I think she's actually really good. And actually, the same game I was watching, you realise that until the Entertainers Guild comes out, you can put four resilient models in a Brewers team.
Yeah.
Four players ignoring the first attack against them.
Yeah, and so many more of them have to fight now.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think I don't think they're anywhere near the top, but maybe the Decimate. Tone down was too much. I don't know, but I still think they're all right. Yeah. They're probably lower down. They're not going to be winning loads of tournaments, I would have thought.
Engineers.
I think Engineers are still very strong. I think Ballista is certainly a thing. I've seen a lot more Ballista played than Pinvice at the moment.
Triple knockdown.
Yeah. This is it. I had a particularly aggressive Ballista turn one goal against me, where he's obviously uses his legendary for a 10-inch kick that can't be sort of intercepted. And at that point, he second wins back to pretty much his deployment line, which is a very, very aggressive sort of kickoff. But what you've also got to look at is then you're still not trading 4 for 2, as is the standard. You trade 4 for nothing because he's this tough-hide model has disappeared back over the halfway line.
Yeah.
And down on the go on the way.
Falcks?
I personally think Falcks are still a play-for-fun team.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
I haven't played them, so I can't comment.
Farmers?
I haven't had any experience against New Farmers, if I'm honest.
I've not played against New Farmers, so I couldn't really say.
I suppose
they've been nerfed, have they? They feel like they've been taken down a peg.
So I played against Chris Tamplin at the Forge, and I underestimated Windle. My God, the damage he can put out is... Whoa! It's just ridiculous. Honestly, And yeah, so he can for a big breakfast against +2/+2 move, so he goes up to a 6/8.
Okay.
So he goes up to a 6/8 and he can have two influence and berserk, so he can get 4 attacks, attack 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And on his fifth column he's got a momentous 5. So let's say, you know, he was hitting the momentous, so he's got a momentous 3 on the second column. So we could hit 3, 6, 9, 12 relatively easy. That's against an easy model to do. But yeah, he's very, very good. Windle is now very good. And you don't generate momentum off him because he's got the Pelage rule.
That's completely been... There's no health limit on that now, is there? It's just you just don't do it.
Yeah, it's a 2-0 with 22 boxes. But like you, he's got empathy, so you don't generate... Yeah. Momentum off thingy, so yeah,
Windle. It used to be before 15, didn't it? It used to be below 15, you didn't generate any. But now it's just generate any.
Masons.
I think Masons are just in a good place. I think they're just good enough now that. Do you know what I mean? I don't think they've been pushed over the curve. I think they're just about sort of just underneath it, to be honest.
The reworks of chisels, granite.
Yeah, the rework with chisel granite has really helped them out. And it's kind of softened the blow that kind of happened to brick. But we've discussed about that enough.
At length. Multiple times.
That's it.
We can't talk about Navigators being a winner because they're not even out yet. Rats.
I think you're the best to talk about that, to be honest.
So, I think they're absolutely fine. Obviously the internet says again that they're like bottom tier at the moment. Like
I heard the church were bottom tier.
Yeah.
I think that's displayed in the fact that no one took them to the LTQ.
Yeah. I'd
kind of concur. I still think that Brisket as a captain isn't good enough to make them anything more than a fun team to play. But as I've said before, I'm sure somebody who's better with the season Brisket than I am will prove me wrong.
To be honest, I played about 5 or 6 games with them at the weekend and I thoroughly enjoyed every single one. Apart from the one against Blacksmiths where I didn't see the ball until turn 5. So I spent the whole... Yeah, this is it. So I spent the first 4.5 turns trying to get takeouts with Church, which when you look at it, it shouldn't be that difficult, but when you're fighting against Blacksmiths, it's difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Kill the apprentices, but
yeah. Well, it's not easy. There was like Iron was there, so having close control, but then you're surrounded by 2-inch melee players. So obviously, trying to get off a close control model with a double push on one, it's impossible.
He's not immune to knockdowns.
No. But who in the church team is good at knocking someone down?
Frank has resilience.
Fangtooth, yeah, but Fangtooth has it on 3 successes.
But it don't matter, you can tank the counter-attack because he's got resilience.
Yeah, what I'm getting at is when you're attacking a 3-2 model who is crowding you out, you can't hit 3 successes.
Charge him.
Well, yes, but... Like I said, it's difficult to play against. I did end up winning that game with 4 takeouts and a goal.
After 7 turns.
Should have played on clock.
Well, let's put it this way: it's the first time I've had to refresh my plot deck.
Wow! Okay. And So, well, back to the rats. We kind of jumped ahead. I think they're good. You've had one game against them, haven't you, in season four, Rich?
Yes.
How did you find the changes without the obnoxious 4VP takeouts?
Oh, it's so much better.
So we had a really close game. We filmed it, didn't we?
We did. That game is up. It's one of my favourite games that we've got on the channel. Because it was just so enjoyable to play again. Don't get me wrong, that was the game with the infamous Cinder charge where she got no successes.
And Scourge got a goal. His first ever goal.
Scourge
won the game with a goal.
This is it. It was a tough game, but it was a lot more enjoyable, to be honest.
Yeah, Graves,
I still think disease is super strong. I think it's still the best condition in the game, considering you get it out without paying for it, and it inhibits your healing.
Both teams, so
you are.
It inhibits both teams.
Yeah, no, I understand. But then when you've got what's her name, the old woman,
miasma.
Miasma.
Things change now.
That you still take minus one tack when you have disease and you're in within an aura of her.
Yeah, kill her. She dies like she's a 4-0 with, I think, with 16 health.
No, I understand, but what I'm getting at is the way I still think disease is super super strong. So I think that's the only part about them that I don't enjoy now.
Yeah,
but I think you really needed to vet Graves, because obviously having close control is really nice for him.
Let's tackle on one.
I was going to say, if you're positioning them as a 3-0 team, they need some way of holding onto the ball and getting it back. And he seems to be that.
Yeah,
it's that bill now.
I think they're probably, for me, they fall more into the 2-2 bracket at this point.
Yeah, rather than a 2-1 bracket that it used to be.
Yeah, that would. Now I used to go one goals, two takeouts.
Yeah, that's two takeouts. Yeah,
there were 1-2 for me.
Which, yeah,
such is life. And Union,
they haven't changed. They're still as strong as they always have been.
Yeah, which is odd considering they haven't changed so much. I thought it might have seen more of them in the LCQ.
What more do you want?
Well, they won it, but there was only 3 people that took them. I would have expected more, but I think possibly a lot of the people that played Union would have been kind of switching to the others. So I imagine a few of the ones that would normally have played Union have went to people like Scalpel or Ox.
Yeah.
But I think probably those two are now, you know, considered ahead of Union, but Union is still in a good place.
Yeah. So overall, there's not really many losers in season four. I think they've done a cracking job.
I just felt really happy over the weekend being able to dodge rage off of Blackheart's legendary. It was and give him confidence. A confidence rage charge is great fun. It's not exactly very efficient, to be honest, but it's just great.
Not very fun for your opponent, though, I'm sure.
It's only like it doesn't do that much damage. Can you think about like a Vet Cinder or
a tooled up? Oh no, he can't tool himself up. Well, he can tool himself up.
It'd be a bit of a waste because he might as well get his 2 extra hits for the extra momentum. But yeah, so if he charges in, Butchery can give him +1 damage. So he can do non momentous 5 on the top of his playbook, and he could wrap to non momentous or momentous 3, momentous 4, potentially, depending on how he gets on.
He has a free attack.
And then he gets a free attack.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds awful. Sounds an awful cost of 0 influence so far.
If he was doing 7 damage off of, if he did wrap, he'd need 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 successes. So he needed his charge to be to max out to get 7 damage. He's still only done as much damage as Cinder does on one hit. That's only if she charges, then she gets 3 extra damage to everybody that's within 2 inches of her as well.
That's if you have a lot of setup. Vet Cinder's damage is really spaced to help.
But she does 7 damage at the top of a playbook. So if
you have to, she's only tack 6, so you've got to hit that.
Oh, he's tack 6, so he's got to hit that. So that's what I'm saying.
But Vet Cinder's got the bonus of auto hits in Guild.
Yes, but again, that's a traditional setup. What I'm getting at is if you can't, if you can't kill a 12 health 4-1 model, I think that says more about you than Vetsinda.
Yeah, I'm just saying that he's not that frightening. It's not like him with confidence is crazy. I'm just saying it's very pleasant to be able to do it rather than having to try and constantly remember that he can't actually be affected by it and work out which character plays he can be affected by because they debuff defense versus other ones that affect the model. It's kind of all got very confusing. So I'm just really enjoyed it. That was my big takeaway from the weekend.
Yeah.
I always used to play Rage anyway, and I just enjoyed playing Rage over the weekend because I could actually, he could interact with the rest of the team, and that was good fun.
Good. So we all enjoyed SteamCon?
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. I shall be there again next year.
Yeah, me too.
Definitely.
You said that almost begrudging. Yeah, me too.
No. Sorry, I was looking at my list, but I've just doodled all over. So that's probably a bit of a quite a long discussion. We're an hour and three quarters at the moment. Wow.
Well, sounds like a good time to call it.
So we have a team event on the 2nd of December. It's sold out. That should be quite fun. So we're probably going to have a podcast after that, I imagine. You two are both playing.
We'll record some games while we're there so everyone can take a look.
Yeah. Got a few ringer teams going. A few decent players turning up.
Ringer teams. Lol.
But yeah, I think that's probably a good place to end it. Thank you. Thank you very much to everyone who came, said hello to us at SteamCon. It was great. Thanks to everyone who listens, subscribes, comments, likes, all that kind of business.
Yep. We appreciate every single one of you. We it's the reason why we do it.
We'll see you at events.
Yeah, we'll see you there.
Okay, so thank you very much for listening. I've been Luke.
I've been Rich.
I have been GG Dave.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.